This is Leo Babiew for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio at 99.5 FM and ktwh.org online. And on this cloudy, moist Tuesday morning in mid-January, I've got Tom Furman, the director of the Two Harbors Housing Redevelopment Authority, here to talk about housing issues in Two Harbors, affordable housing development opportunities, how those are getting rolling to serve community needs, and he has some details about a project already underway that we want to talk about, affordable senior housing. Where to start? Well, first, welcome, Tom. We hope to cover some aspects of this complex issue today and thanks. Give folks an idea of where the opportunities and challenges lie.
Well, so, thanks welcome. For having me.
Thank you, Tom. Wondering, how long have you been in this position with Two Harbors, and where have you worked before in your career
sure.
and your life?
Yeah, and I was hired on as the executive director here at the HRA of Two Harbors about 3.5 years ago, a little bit more. And prior to that, I worked at Duluth HRA, the Housing for Redevelopment in Duluth.
So you are, in your own words, at least I heard you say that you could be considered a housing nerd.
Yeah. We're the Northeast Regional Directors. We have a group of executive directors that get together 4 times a year, and we just call ourselves the Nerds because we are the Northeast Regional Directors, NARDS.
So. Excellent. So I do need, for the benefit of myself and the listeners, a little more of a thumbnail view, at least, of what our city, HRA, or Housing Redevelopment Authority, or any Housing Redevelopment Authority does. Is it a city agency? Is it kind of a kind of hybrid? How does it receive its funding? And well, let's start there.
Sure. HRA, all HRAs are usually either city or county derived. However, they are still considered to be private. So a lot of the other directors and I can understand it more if we think of ourselves as kind of like being as the Raytheon is to the military, we are to housing. We do everything under the umbrella of what HUD wants us to do, but we are each independent.
Okay. But does that mean that you're still using directed public monies, or it's not part of the city's budget?
It's not part of the city's budget right now.
Okay.
We have talked about housing, having something more of like a tax levy for housing.
Sure.
And right now, the tax levy money is going to the county, which the county is actually utilizing the levy money throughout the entire county very well. And I realize that the lion's share of a lot of the money does come from Two Harbors, but they're actually doing great work within our city limits. As we go forward, the city HRA may take advantage of the tax levy and actually have our own tax levy instead of it going to the county HRA. But right now, it's just a working relationship that we have with the county, with the city, with ourselves, making sure that we just utilize the money that we do receive from the government, from the federal government, in a way that's the best for our needs at Bayview.
I guess the bottom line is to know that it's money investment effectively spent. And I guess there are people who are concerned that over the past decade or more, that maybe we haven't always made the best decisions or had the best policies to move forward on affordable housing. Tom, you work nearby in Duluth. How would you describe to folks what the challenge is? Is it almost like a generational challenge? Is it an economic challenge? Is it a challenge of us not having the right pieces of the puzzle to incentivize housing? It must be multifaceted. I'd just ask you what your take is on this.
It is very multifaceted. I definitely talk about the idea of the economics of making sure that people, as they retire, as they start working, that if they can afford to buy a house with the money that they're making currently. It's a real big challenge right now, because if you're just looking at it from the perspective of an economic issue, I don't think we're going to completely tackle it. I think that we have to look at this from the perspective that we need to change a lot of the forces, not just how much people get paid, but as well as making sure that our housing stock is well maintained and is kept up as we go forward, because it's a lot easier, it's a lot more cost effective to keep a house staying well under construction, well taken care of, than it is to build from scratch.
In the 3+ years that you've been working in Two Harbors, I believe you work out of or are managing in one way or another Bayview Terrace, which is an HRA property, so to speak.
I mean, yeah. Bayview Terrace is a public housing, and they are just off First Street on 505 First Avenue. We end up taking care of our housing needs there, as well as all of our staff is there. That's what we did for 48 years. I mean, we're now 52, but for a long time, that was what we figured was the best use of our time and management experience and everything. And then 3.5 years ago, I was hired on with the understanding that our housing needs in our community really were changing and growing rapidly. And I had witnessed it in Duluth as well. And so my first order of business was to come in and try to figure out how to really get the senior housing taken care of in Two Harbors first. And then from there, I've got an awful lot of other plans that'll be branching forward so that we can have more labor force housing as well, a lot of financial assistance as needed for low-income families and whatnot. So there's a lot to go on, but I'm thrilled to be here at this right time because there is a huge need, and we are seeing a lot of that momentum because as the public realizes, there's a lot of needs, and we're just trying to start to fill them.
And I did make a mention of the generational concern, and it's interesting that you spoke to the senior housing, but yet your charge, your mission at HRA is the full spectrum of available housing?
It is, but in my mind, the initial push was for senior housing because being a part of Bayview, we knew how long the wait list was for seniors to get housing, and everything else beyond that was more anecdotal or through a Maxfield study. And Maxfield does a great job, but I can talk about the housing study that we had as well.
It's an existing study, but it may be a few years old now.
Actually, the city of Two Harbors went forward and they put housing as a priority. So in 2022, the city of Two Harbors initially contracted out to have the Maxfield study done again. So we had one in 2017, and that would have been old by this point. 5 years is pretty much the lifespan of a housing study like this. And so they actually went forward and did a 2022 Maxfield study. So the city also realizes the need for this.
Great. Among the things that you have to consider is not just the number of units that are available, whether they be rental or single-family residential or multi-family residential, but is there an assessment of the state of repair, the needs, the aging out of that some buildings, if they aren't rehabbed now, will come out of that housing stock?
Yes. This wasn't part of the Maxfield study, but this is something that we've done internally. We've looked at a lot of the housing situations throughout our whole city, and there are an awful lot of houses that definitely could use some foundation work, some roof repair, some siding repair, and a lot of times the owners just aren't in a position to be able to do a lot of that because if they're a single income family, or if they're living off of fixed income such as Social Security, it's just hard to be able to break out that much of an expense to be able to put $20,000 into a house when you're not ready to be able to afford that. So we have to look at a lot of these situations and try to figure out the best way for this to be successful. And that's where the HRA can really have a lot of influence because working with the city, working with the different revenue streams to make sure that we have grants available, making sure that we have something to where people can afford to live in a house that they currently live in, or they can move into a house if they're currently working or employed.
And before you said that it's more than economic, but it does sound like a challenge if, for instance, we open up more senior housing. Some seniors who are having trouble being able to keep up with the projects needed to be done at their house move out. When the younger families move in, if they are stretched by just the cost of the housing initially and then they can't do upgrades themselves, are there going to be programs or policies that are going to help folks like that to be able to bring their housing up to the spec they wanted at to live in it for 20, 30 years?
Yeah, and that's actually part of what we've been working with. AEOA has a couple programs. The Lake County HRA has also been a part of the discussion, and they are looking at trying to get more of the home loans, different emergency funding available, and that's part of the long-term project for our HRA as well. Two Harbors HRA also realizes that there's a big need that a lot of families have in making sure that they can afford the houses that they end up in.
Yeah.
So whether it's rental or if they own it, because there's an awful lot of expenses for a lot of people either way. Right now, the marketplace, we're seeing some rents upward around $1,000 for an efficiency apartment, and I feel that that's just not sustainable for most people that are looking for an efficiency apartment.
Not given what the median wage is, you mean?
Right, given the median wage.
Yeah, in some markets, that might be a deal.
That's true. Yeah, and even in Duluth, $1,000 isn't the same kind of a thing as a $1,000 rental in Two Harbors, but it's still, $1,000 is still quite a bit for a lot of the people in Duluth even.
Certainly is. And in order for there to be enough housing stock that there are even rental units, from what I've been hearing, it's hard to come by rental units, whether affordable or not, in Two Harbors.
Yes, very much. And I think that this is where the HRA of Two Harbors ended up working very nicely with the city council, with all of the city of Two Harbors, because when the housing issues kind of cropped up, we had great discussions about what does short-term rentals do, VRBOs, Airbnbs, these type of things.
Yes.
And they ended up deciding that the best way to go forward is putting a cap on the number of short-term rentals that were going to be available throughout the city, as well as where they should be located. And this was a great first step in the process, because when we end up moving forward, and we do have a senior building project you kind of mentioned a little bit ago, we have 50 to 60 units being built by D.W. Jones coming up in the near future. And when that gets built and we see a lot of people moving out of their houses into that building, what you'll also see is a lot of that fresh housing stock, the housing where people just moved out of, will end up being able to be more market-driven rather than for the entire world to be able to invest into. Because without the short-term rental investors, you're going to see a much more isolated demand, which is going to be much more conducive to making more affordable housing for people that already have a job and they just want to live in Two Harbors.
Indeed. I have to imagine, even though it may not come to your attention directly a lot, but employers who are looking to develop additional new businesses in Two Harbors are going to be very concerned. I don't know what role they can possibly play, but I know that pretty tricky right now for the city council and planning commission to be looking at proposals that bring new jobs if they can't tell the employer where those folks are going to be living.
Very much.
Especially with Duluth down the road, the largest city all in the area, also having housing challenges.
Yeah, and that's exactly correct. I think that a lot of times employment ends up going along with the housing issues. That's part of a long-term plan that both the county has been involved with and the city HRA has been involved with, more of understanding of what we're really trying to do as a whole. As we look at bringing new employment in to the area, we need to make sure that there's housing stock available for them. And this kind of a first step in the process, getting senior housing built, is the first step of the process. And then we're also going to make sure that we have some newer single-family homes that are on the lower affordable.
Lake County, frankly, the folks I talk to and some other agencies tell me that it's an inevitably aging demographic, at least for the in the short median run. Us baby boomers insist on living in a place that we love. And it's good that we can age in place, but it also suggests that we're going to have to build more affordable housing for the general population as well as for seniors.
Very much so. So I think that, yeah, we're off in the right direction. And you're right, the Two Harbors, you don't only get the people that already know how nice it is to live here all year round. You also get a lot of the people from outside the area who have visited Two Harbors and they want to retire here. So you have a double whammy in a sense of the number of people that want to move here as a senior and stay here for the rest of their remaining time and age in place.
And one of the wild cards, I think, is going to be people in their late 20s through even mid-50s, people who, for many, many reasons, needed to move away, get trained, educated, start their careers. They've had their mindset on, if I can move back to Two Harbors, that's the place I want to raise my family.
Very understandable.
And we're generally not getting many of them at the moment. Well, I'm not trying to turn this into a metropolis on Lake Superior, but you can see there's a lot of possibilities.
Well, and I think that's labor force housing that we're really going to be making sure that we recognize and try to make sure that our housing stock caters to a lot of those kind of situations. And you realize it's never a one-size-fits-all for everyone because, you know, building apartments is fine and dandy if you're wanting to live in an apartment. But if you right. want to live in your own home versus if you want to live in a duplex, do you want to do the shoveling? Do you want to do the yard work? I mean, there's a lot of things to consider, and everyone has their own needs, and that's why, you know, a community needs to make sure that we have a wide assortment of housing opportunities.
Which leads me back to talking about a specific, for instance, which is that senior housing project that we've been talking about in generalities. I don't know if you want to, it's probably been talked about in the public forum and part of the public record, but can you give me a heads up on this project that is located right in the city limits of Two Harbors that's under development?
Yeah, we're really excited about that. That's been the project of my initiation as I kind of stepped into the position and knew that we needed to start moving forward. For the last 3 years, we've been kind of building momentum. And just not too long ago, we ended up solidifying the process. And we ended up putting out a call for proposals, a request for qualifications for developers, and found a great partner in D.W. Jones. And D.W. Jones is looking at the property that's just south of the August Omnibed Drive, which is just the name itself kind of connotates a lot of the housing because of the Omnibed name. But I think it's just a great nod. The building is going to be 50 to 60 units. We're looking at a lot of funding, and this is going to be federal funding, state funding. It's not going to come out of our local budget. This is the exciting part to me. I did ask the city to make sure that we could waive whack and sack and a couple other fees and to get the land available so that the land would also go with the building process. But D.W. Jones is a phenomenal builder, and we've been thrilled the work that they've done so far. But we still have a lot of work to do before we break ground in the spring of 24.
So it might help to understand how the pieces of a puzzle of a project like this get developed. The land that is being planned for the build is land that's accessible to HRA because it's city-owned?
That's correct.
And is that something that we have in our pocket right now, that the City of Two Harbors has holdings that could become additional projects along with this D.W. Jones project in the future?
There are. When I approached the city, I had asked for a number of different opportunities to try to attract developers, you know, and so they gave us, they said that there were three plots of land that we could have the developers look at, and all the developers came in and they looked at different ones, and D.W. Jones ended up being the one that selected the August Omnivet one, but that wasn't as important as the developer themselves in our criteria. They just happened to select the one that works out well for utility lines already running through the area, the bike path that runs that way, being conveniently close to the Super One grocery store as well as gas stations and the bank as well over there.
Does this development exist as the concept of a planned unit development, or is this something other than that? I'm trying to figure out how it aligns with city planning land use categories.
I guess I'm not quite familiar exactly with what you're asking. Is this like part of a city planning?
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering, because the density may be, or is this land that is already in the city's land use plan available for the density of the type of housing, like even height and, you know, the width of the streets. There are details that I am not a housing nerd, but I do know that these issues come up again and again.
It was more fortuitous, and that's part of the reason why D.W. Jones selected the area, but it was already zoned R3, so it was kind of a possible. That was one of the many different ideas that I'm sure that the city had in their mind. Okay. This could do well for a density population, and especially you kind of look at it as for senior housing, how can you go wrong? Because, I mean, if you're going to have any neighbors in the area, senior neighbors are usually the most quietest. They're awfully well-mannered, and it's been fantastic working at Bayview and getting to see these things up close, because the general, you know, population of Two Harbors is awfully welcoming, and I think that Bayview is the exact same way. It's just an identical mirror reflection of the community as a whole.
Well, I'm speaking today with Tom Furman. I went a long time without letting folks just joining the interview know who is this person who knows all these things about what's going on in Two Harbors housing. But Tom, thanks for being with us today. And to zoom in a little bit more on this project that D.W. Jones is helping to develop, is the plan quite detailed and clear now? How do these units work? Are they separate units, or are they attached to one another, row housing style? What?
Sure. This is actually going to be an apartment complex.
Okay.
It's going to be a 50-unit apartment complex. They've actually given us their first kind of brush of how the building will look, how large the units are going to be, the parking garages on both sides. It's very detailed in what they did give us, but that was all part of that RFQ process of selection, and they gave us so much information that it was obvious they had spent an awful lot of time thinking about this, trying to figure out how the community would best work. And then they had a listening session on top of that. So after they were selected, we actually had a gathering at Bayview that was open to the public, and we tried to make sure that people knew about it. But I probably should have actually gotten in touch with you, Leo, because you would have been able to get a lot of that information out for us. But it was still really well attended, and we got a lot of good feedback coming in. And D.W. Jones did change a couple of the ideas that they had. They're looking at growing fruit trees around the outside of the area, gardens, so that people that are residing in the new building, which is also going to be called Evergreen, they would have activities right around there. We also still have the bike path, and we have some other different things that are going to be going up. Overall, the idea of a three-story unit building, it looks fantastic. So we're going to have three floors of apartments.
right now somewhere between 50 and 60 units, or has that been honed in?
Well, initially we created it for 50 units, but we were going to be doing two different revenue streams. And throughout the process of going through, we had 202 PRAC and we had tax credit. The 202 PRAC problems were just surmounting. And so the developer, D.W. Jones, Skip Deschenes is the lead developer, and he's been fantastic to work with. But Skip and I had talked about how to really be able to work around this. And we ended up coming to the conclusion that it should be just a straight tax credit property. Initially, Maxfield had done the study, and they said that it was only supposed to be 37 senior housing units, but Skip ended up approaching and asking him to redo those numbers because he felt that they were pretty low after seeing what he saw in Two Harbors. And when Maxfield redid the numbers, they said that a more accurate number would be 60 units. So okay. He had initially designed the building to be 50 units, but now we're seeing the need for 60. You know, when it comes to this situation, I don't dictate how big the project should be. I work with the developer on making sure that the opportunity is there for them to be able to come in and build a building that they feel is going to be right for the community. I am one of the experts in the area, but I'm not the end-all be-all that says this is what we need to do. Skip is much more knowledgeable when it comes to tax credit financing, so he looks at the situation and he'll come up with a number that he feels is going to be best suited for the situation.
Maybe we'll, in the future, Tom, have you in to talk about all of the different mechanisms, because the financing might go over the heads of a number of us. I only heard a couple of acronyms in there in the course of talking about this, but I know that there's got to be something in it for the developer, and there certainly has to be something in it for the community, and this sounds like it has that in spades. And there are probably listeners right now thinking, okay, what's the timeline? What's the horizon of this project? Because I want to try to sign up. Who is going to be eligible, and how will that timeline, do you think, roll out? Optimistically, of course.
Sure, yeah. And as long as we go ahead and get the bonding done at the state level, we're going to see a lot of the financing for housing projects go forward, and this is one of those. So we're hoping that we get a bonding bill any day now at the state capitol. But once we end up moving forward, we're theoretically going to be breaking ground in the spring of 24, and we're actually going to be housing people in the spring of 25. Now, the people that are going to qualify have to be over the age of 63 or older, and they have to be under the income of 60% AMI, which means average median income. Right now, AMI, 60% AMI right now for a single individual is somewhere around $25,000 a year, $35,000 a year. And so if you're, you know, a person that's living on Social Security, or if you have Social Security and a retirement, you know, making $3,000 a year, you may qualify. But that's the tax credit portion. Bayview Terrace ends up going all the way up to $47,000 for a single individual, $52,000 for a married couple. So the affordability factor, a lot of people don't realize that they could qualify for being able to live in these communities that are really designed to make sure that seniors are assisted in their process as they go forward. We don't want people to be outside shoveling snow when they're 80, 90 years old unless they want to. You know, I want
for
to
some people, that's their gym.
You know, yeah.
But it's a dangerous gym, I might add.
We have residents at Bayview that actually, you know, choose to help shovel at times, yes, and stuff. And I think that's wonderful because, you know, the last thing I want to do is not, you know, rain on somebody's enjoyment. And if this is what they'd like to do, I'm not going to stop them.
Yeah.
This isn't hurting anybody. It's helping us, in fact.
Well, it's at least 4 or 5 months of the year an opportunity to exercise.
That's right.
I'm a little tired of it this particular winter.
The gym workout is getting really old.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And Tom, as we wrap this up, I think you mentioned what a single resident of the new housing would need to make to yearly to qualify in for a couple.
You know, this is, again, going to be 60% AMI. And
yeah,
right now we just have the 2022 numbers. And they're somewhere right around 40,000 per year for a couple. But that number is going to change as we go forward. These are the 2022 numbers. We don't have the 23 numbers out yet. But HUD dictates a lot of that information to us, and we just kind of roll with it. So they look at each one of the counties throughout the area, and they tell us what average median income is. They,
yep,
tell us what fair market rate is. So a lot of times the amount that rent that's being charged is actually 80% FMR, fair market rate. And we have no say over the matter. It's 30% of your income or 80% FMR.
So this project will get a whole lot of momentum, traction towards becoming real when the bonding is in place. And this is bonding from a state omnibus bonding package, not just an individually packaged
That's
for two
correct.
Harbors.
Okay. Yep, that is exactly correct. Yeah, we're excited about it. And when you say, you know, getting the momentum and actually starting to see this thing toward fruition, I feel that for 3.5 years, we've been kind of pushing the ball forward. And it wasn't until like the last 6 months that I saw this ball just naturally, organically start moving forward by the community support, by a lot of the work that the city council has been doing. This has taken on a life of its own. And I knew that, you know, we have really hit that sweet spot. We've finally gotten over the peak, and now we just have to make sure we get all our finances lined up and everything. But it's obvious that there's an awful lot of people cheering us on at this point.
Thanks, Tom, for that overview of the housing situation in Two Harbors, and especially this new senior housing project. We're all looking forward to hearing positive news about it moving forward, and probably once that's got momentum, you'll maybe be able to join us and talk in the future about some other projects that bear paying attention to. And, you know, we can all, I was going to ask you, what typically can the average citizen do vis-a-vis supporting these things, aside from telling their legislators we need bonding that supports this?
Yeah, that's actually one of the bigger ones. And we had a great meeting at City Hall with the newly elected legislators. And I think that that's a big key part. But as far as, you know, from the community standpoint, just recognizing our need for housing and kind of making sure that if they talk to their city councilor mentioning, you know, getting housing, I'm thrilled that the direction that things are going, but we could definitely use a little bit more housing. And that's going to help us moving forward, making sure we get single family homes on the rise as well, making sure that we work with the high school is included. That's another project that we're having going forward. There's an awful lot of things happening, so I appreciate the time to be able to talk about the bigger projects. But there's enough projects going forward that I'm afraid I might bore your listeners to death.
Well, on the political side of things, everyone should bear in mind we have a mayoral race that's in progress. KTWH will have a forum with the candidates and be posing questions. And I just kind of bet you that housing will be a question posed to those candidates. And it's going to be on our minds for some time to come. And it sounds like things are looking up is my way of summing up this interview with Tom Furman. Thanks for joining us today, Tom.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. That's Tom Furman, the director of the City of Two Harbors Housing Redevelopment Authority. And housing is just one of the many issues you can track in our local area through your Two Harbors Community Radio, KTWH.